Welcome to the Grace Church Parent Team Podcast, where we believe that when parents are healthy, everyone wins. I'm your host, Jocelyn Olminski, and my co-host is Mark Steller. Mark, how's game day been going?
Oh, man. Game day has been excellent. It's been super fun to see. I've seen a lot of new faces and a lot of returnees. We've seen a lot of young siblings now playing, so it's been really fun. Game day family event was great, so kind of ties nicely to Mark being on here. But the Cavs were a big part of game day family event this year, which was fun. We actually had Sir Cece out there throwing dodgeballs at parents, and it was super fun. So it's been a great season.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Guys, I am super excited about our guest today. We're joined by Mark Price. So many of you listening know Mark as NBA All-Star and three-point contest winner, and you know, really a guy that helped kind of mold and change the game of basketball in my perspective. But I'm also blessed to call him a friend, and so I know that he is also a great friend and a dad, and now a grandpa as well. He's also been a coach, and so I thought it would be super fun for a guy who's done all those things and puts his faith on the top shelf, most importantly, to kind of give us some perspective from his seat on parenting.
Yeah, that's awesome. We're excited to have you on the podcast, Mark, and to have all of your wisdom being shared and all of your experiences. And I just love to kind of talk about that. So we know that you kind of grew up as a dad who coached, and now you have raised kids of your own. You have grandkids. How has your perspective on youth sports changed from being an athlete to being a parent?
Yeah, it's, you know, from my perspective, obviously it was a little different being a professional athlete. You know, I think in a lot of ways it puts undue pressure sometimes on your children, because if your dad's a pro player, then you ought to be really good, right? That's just how it works, and that's in people's minds and dealing with that. So in a lot of ways, it can be, I think, a little harder on the kids, you know, who have parents that have been successful in sports, just because there's an expectation level there. But you know, from the parents' side of it, I always tried to do my best to, obviously, anything. I didn't, you know, force my boys to play basketball, or my girls. I got two girls and two boys. But, you know, my boys both liked it, and they played and were good enough to play in at the college level. And so we had to navigate those waters as parents. You know, I was retired by the time they got kind of old enough and got to be in high school. And so I got to spend more time with them and coach some of their, you know, fifth and sixth grade teams and all those things that parents do. But I think the biggest thing I tried, you know, and maybe it's because I had reached it, I wasn't trying to live my life through my kids. And I think you see that a lot with parents. They get so caught up in, you know, trying to kind of live through whatever success their kids might have athletically, or, you know, whether it be basketball, whatever sport, you know, or, you know, could be other areas of life. But but I think that's the challenge, I think, for a lot of parents, is to allow your kids to be kids and, you know, not drive them. I tell parents all the time, I think at the younger ages in particular, you want your kids to love the sport if they're going to be good at it. Because other, you know, now with all travel teams and all the things that come with sports, you see a lot of, at least I do, I see a lot of kind of burnout with these kids, because some parents tend to drive them a little too hard at a young age. And the thing I try to encourage parents is the cream will rise to the top. I mean, if your child has the ability and the work ethic to put into it, it's eventually going to show. And so I think just put them in situations, if they like basketball or football or baseball or whatever sport it is, just make it an experience that they enjoy as much as you possibly can. Because the higher they play at whatever level it is, and then everybody starts stepping into the pressures, soon enough, you don't need to have that pressure at home. You know, in my opinion, love your kids, encourage them. There's nothing wrong with telling them to work hard at what they do, put the time in, but also try to make it a fun experience for them.
Yeah.
That and help them to love what they, because ultimately at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how bad the parents want them to be successful. At some point in time, the child is going to have to take that on themselves and buy into what they want to be with whatever sport they're playing. And ultimately that's the bottom line. So, you know I talked a lot about a lot of different things right there, but my biggest thing at younger ages in particular, even when I do my camps, you know, my camps are usually ages, you know, 10 to 14 or so. And you know, you got some kids that are farther advanced than other kids, but I really try to make an effort in my camps, one, to teach them things that can, you know, give them fundamentals that can help them if they want to become a good player, but make it a fun experience for them. That they enjoyed that and they want to learn more about it and they want to, you know, fall in love with the game. And that's important to me.
Yeah. Yeah. What you're saying about like the pressures and the expectations to live up to, I mean, they see big names all the time. Even I'm sure your kids that were raised in your home, like know of Mark Bryce and your legacy and what you've been able to do with sports. And like, that's a lot, but the pressure takes all the fun out of it. And I think it's hard because sometimes they're going to feel that, whether or not like you're trying to put that on them, but it's just reminding them that it's more than just like, you're not just expecting them to be someone better than you were or to live up to like your experience, because it's going to be different and they're not you. And so helping kids realize that, separating that a little bit.
Yeah. I also think Mark said something there I have to double down on for those listening. It was about the rising top, you know. This could be another podcast, Mark, because I know your story and being able to be found in a small town in Oklahoma, which that happened back then. So if that could happen back then, it's letting these parents know that overscheduling to have your child be found is not needed. So like you said, the cream will rise at the top, especially if you take the pressure off and they actually love and enjoy the game, right? So those things go hand in hand. Or sometimes we see overscheduling to make sure they're found, do all the right things. And then that's where you hear this average kid right now is sometimes ending a sport at 13 or 14 because they're already at certain. So I loved hearing that. I think that's a good reminder for all of us as parents that cream will rise.
Yeah, it definitely does. And, you know, like you said, back when I was coming out of high school, you didn't have internet, you didn't have cell phones, you didn't have all this stuff. And somehow Georgia Tech found me, you know, in Oklahoma. So it's like, and with all the technology now, if you're good enough, they'll find you. And so I think in some ways that kind of pressure is less than it even used to be in some ways. But to another point that I feel like is important, especially at young ages, is to encourage your kids to try multiple, you know, try different things. You know, I think we all grew up in my, you know, I'm showing my age, I turned 62 yesterday, right? And so, you know, I'm an old guy now, right? But back in my era, you kind of played, you know, basketball and basketball season, baseball and baseball season, football and football season. We didn't have as many different sports back then. Those were kind of the main three. And I'm a big believer in, you know, not just honing in, you know, kids 10 years old and we're just going to focus on football or we're just going to, you know, play one sport, because I think there's a lot of things going on. I think athleticism in general, you use different muscles for different sports. And if you're just using the same muscles, you know, from 10 years old, every day or whatever, I think you also are starting to see more injuries with kids. One thing, because overuse of things, but playing multiple sports and trying different things, I think develops different muscles and different things and allows you to just have a healthier perspective than just, you know, 10-year-olds playing travel baseball and having to play 100 games in the summer. Just, you know, I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes here, but that just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, you know, sure. at those ages, driving kids or having to play that many games. You know, but I think that's a challenge now because everybody uses that phrase, well, if you don't, you're going to get behind, right? That's kind of, you don't want your child to get behind. And I just go back to that. I'm like, if your child's got the ability and the talent, I mean, you see guys all the time. There's a guy, you know, you see guys that are playing in the NBA that didn't even start playing basketball till like after high school, right? And so, but they grew to be whatever, 6'8", and had athletic, you know. And so I use those examples all the time just to say, you know, the whole idea of you're going to, you know, if you don't play one season of travel baseball, that all of a sudden now you're going to be way behind. If you're good enough, it's cream's going to come to the crop. And I think that's the challenge for parents. And I use the term all the time to have a healthy balance in their lives. And you want your kids to be able to be kids too. And sometimes go play and not have to, you know, get dressed for a baseball game every single day all summer. So, you know, those are a lot of different things to think about.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And I mean, even talk about how I think a lot of even sports now could push like the year round, like offering a lot of different options for them to continue to practice their sport and excel in their sport, that they almost don't give them their break, where like they have to advocate for that themselves. Can maybe talk more about like why is it important to even if your coach is telling you that you need this and you should be doing this sport all year round, to say playing multiple sports is helpful, having a break is actually necessary and good for your body. Like, what would you say to those athletes?
Yeah, I would encourage that. I think that's a great word that you used, a break. I think, you know, we talk about, you know, even when I was playing in college or, you know, the NBA, you know, when the season was over, you know, I took some time off. You know, it's just you need to regroup and refresh and having what I call an off season, you know, just to let your body heal or whatever nagging little things are going on. And even your mind more than anything else, just to give your mind a break, to just get away from it for a little while. And then when the season starts ratcheting up again, you can jump back into it. But yeah, I always enjoyed and purposely took those breaks, you know, whether it be in the off season or in the summers when I was in college. You know, I would still practice my basketball, but I would also do other things. Like I had to go get a summer job, and, you know, earn a little extra money so I'd have some at college the next year and all those kind of things. Just kind of, you know, letting kids have somewhat normal lives and like just having a balance between, you know, faith, family, you know, friends, you know, being able to soak up. And I think all those kinds of different experiences really help your kids to figure out what it is they like and what direction they want to go in.
I love this idea. I'm, again, putting myself on the side of these parents listening. And I think sometimes you just don't know, like you just get into the groove. My kid likes the sport, right? And you just start getting going and you just do the next thing we'll tell you you're supposed to do. And in defense of even coaches and people running to, that's all they know. So they just keep offering things because they think that's what they're supposed to do. So we've talked about this a little bit in the past, but if you're listening and you struggle, like have conversations with the coaches. I guarantee some of these coaches would be like, oh yeah, your son just played 4 months straight of this. Yeah, take the summer. They're not going to say he's not going to make the team next year because like make assumptions one way or the other. Many of these coaches are just in new spots themselves. Know what they know. So just encourage when you hear somebody like Mark say that. Like we need breaks mentally and physically, and because it's offered doesn't mean it's necessary. And then we come back to the cream rises to the top. You take a season off to reboot. That is not going to cost you your NBA career. I don't listen to me. Listen to Mark. But I think that's what happens sometimes.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And find other things. If you're an athlete, find other things outside of sports as well. Like for me, I grew up singing. I love music. you know, my family sang. We sang in church. You know, I sang in the choir at school and high school, and music was something that I always loved to do, you know, I still do. I sing in the choir at my church, you know, to this day. But music was like it was great because it was just outside the realm of this competitive, you know, athletics that's nonstop. It was something that gave me a break mentally and something that I really enjoyed doing outside of that. And I just encourage kids to do that as well. It could be whatever, you know, whatever you like, go fishing or, you know, if there's something just to kind of, you know, anything that's outside of kind of what you're having to focus in nonstop, that's, that can kind of mentally give you a break and bring some peace, a little bit of peace to your life sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think even that's helpful, the peace, like it doesn't have to be crazy. It doesn't have to be overwhelming. It doesn't have to be like every single day something's going on. What would you say even to parents who maybe have dreams or aspirations for their kids to be like D1, or even their kid wants to be like the pro athlete? Sometimes I think parents invest a lot into having to make sure that that's the outcome, but they're chasing more than what the scholarship is able to give them. And so what is the, I guess, boundary there of, you know, don't want to put more into it than it's going to give as far as scholarships for D1 colleges and sports?
Yeah, I think especially now, it's the environment's changed so much with D1 in particular sports, with all the NIL and the kids getting paid. And I think sometimes the parents can see all that stuff too going on. Mm-hmm. But someone told me a long time ago, and it's really true. You know, I think parents try to get kind of send stuff out or send tapes out, trying to get Division I, you know, schools interested in their kid. And I heard I don't know if it was a scout or a coach one time say, is you don't recruit the level recruits you. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, so if you're getting more letters from Division II schools, you know, than you are Division I schools, then, you know, I would encourage you, because I had a son. He started out in D1, played 3 years at Liberty University, and then transferred to play in a Division II school his last year. He was a little burnt out with the Division I stuff, and so, you know, Division II was, you know, a little less, you know, that was maybe one of the most fun years of basketball that he ever had, and experience wise. And with the way it goes now, and it's really hard, high school kids, unless you're like top 10, top 20 in the country, it's going to be tough being recruited by Division I schools because of the transfer portal now that they have. Mm-hmm. All the coaches are looking for guys that have experience. Now, you know, if they can go sign a kid that's played 4 years for somebody else or sign a high school kid, the chances are they're going to go sign that kid that's, you know, got 4 years of experience and can help them win now. So the whole development side of things brings a whole new, you know, whole new avenue to these kids. And I would say, if you're being recruited by some, you know, good D2 opportunities in schools, to take that seriously, because the way it works now is if you go to a D2 school and you have a couple really good years, you'll have D1s all of a sudden calling you, yeah, you know, all the time. Mm-hmm. And so, as I used to say, there's more ways to skin a cat, right? Different ways to skin a cat. And, you know, it's like in a lot of ways, you got to build a resume now. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't just be a good high school player and expect to get necessarily what you want. You might have to go play to D3 or D2 or for a year or two and get a resume built up a little bit to where, you know, you're a little bit more attractive to these, and you see it all the time now happening. And so it's a whole different, it's a lot harder, you know, landscape to navigate, you know, than it used to be. It used to be just, hey, if you were a good high school player, you'd get recruited by college. Well, that's just not the case now anymore. I mean, there was over, I could be wrong, but I think there was over 1,000 kids that transferred last year and put their names into the transfer portal. So, and I've even heard guys, you know, famous coaches like Rick Patino and basically come out and said, I don't recruit high school kids anymore. You know, he recruits they recruit the portal and they use the NIL and all that stuff. And so I feel bad in a lot of ways. It's a tougher scenario for high school kids now. But I think parents, I think that's why they got to be a little bit more open-minded and more creative to say, hey, well, maybe if they don't get D1 the first round, you know, maybe if they go to a little, you know, what you'd say smaller, but there's a lot of really good players at the D2 level, you know, and so go to a school, have some success, and, you know, a lot of times it comes back around for you.
Doesn't, right, Mark? I think that's what I'm hearing is you're saying that, or you realize. I mean, I think the message to the parent, you explain that, is like it is about the long, like you have to love the sport to go now more than ever. Yep. You have to love the sport, right? This isn't going to be a cheat code. I'm going to play this sport 12 months out of the year, be really good, get recruited by my favorite school, and be good. It doesn't work that way. It's a long road. So if that's the case, and your kid does love the sport, then there has to be this love for it. So I love this. You're almost flexing that muscle. Like, no, my kid loves basketball. Well, then great. Play it really hard for these. Take a break and do other stuff. Reboot, because it's going to be, if your dream is to go win a national championship for your favorite D1 school, which is great to have the dream, it's going to be a process now more than it ever has. You got to love it. You can't be super tired of it by the time you're walking in freshman year to whatever school you're going to. So that's what I keep hearing is it's a long place. You got to love it. You got to love the process.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And the thing is, too, you got to your point of, do you love it? And, you know, a lot of kids say, well, I'm going to go to a, because I dealt with this as a coach. You know, I coached at University of Charlotte, North Carolina. And it was a mid-major. It was a mid-major type Division I school. And I recruited a ton of kids that would have been like starters for me, like probably have a chance to be all conference type players. And yet at the end of the day, they would always go sign with the bigger schools, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it be a Clemson, a South Carolina, or, you know, I was in North Carolina, so I was surrounded by a lot of these bigger ACC type schools, and they would go to those schools and never play, you know, because they were really our level, mid-major level, and they could have been a really good player, played a lot, probably had a blast being out there, right, playing, loving the game. Instead, they chose to go somewhere that was, you know, too high a level for them. And, you know, and there's nothing wrong. Hey, if you want to go there and you want to sit on the bench and cheer on your team and that makes you happy, that's cool. But I think a lot of kids want to go and play. And so pick a spot, pick a school, pick a level that you can go play and enjoy playing the game of basketball or football, baseball, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Line communication. Sorry, Justin. I'm getting excited about open lines of communication, right? So we talked about car ride home with your kids at home. Like, what do your kids want? Because you just said that. I know some people, their dream would be to go to Ohio State, play basketball. Maybe wouldn't be even to play. If I made the Ohio State basketball team and I was at the bench and that's what I did, that's been my dream forever. And so you could help them reach that. Some are just like, I work my butt off to play as much as I can. And so you have to help them find that and be like, hey, you know, take this D2, D3 opportunity because you're going to play a bunch and make some good friends and you're going to play from the time you're a freshman on. But like, just make sure we're always communicating with our kids. Mm-hmm. And those will evolve. Make sure we're always talking about their dreams so we can help them, not make them our own dreams, but understand what they want.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, and, you know, everybody's different that way. You know, that was a choice that I had to make coming out. It was important to me. I wanted to go somewhere where I could play right away. Mm-hmm. And so I chose a school, Georgia Tech, which was in the ACC, but they were at the bottom of the ACC, right? When I went, they weren't recruiting the Kenny Andersons of the world, the number one point guard or whatever. And so I was able to go in as a unheralded freshman and get to start right away because it was a program that was trying to build something. And so mm-hmm. I had some other schools that would have been better you know, that were higher, maybe higher ranked type places, but I might have to sit for 2 or 3 years before I ever got an opportunity. And that was something that, like, to your point, Mark, something I had to decide, what was most important to me in the process.
Yeah, I think that's super helpful. I know that there's, like, a lot of parents that are navigating the college application process and trying to have these conversations with their kids of what school should they go to and what should they be looking for. And I just think that that language of, yeah, everything that you just said will be super helpful, a way to navigate those hard conversations.
You know, my dad was a coach. He coached at every level. And, you know, college, pro, high, you know, high school. And so, you know, I was playing for a high school coach that, I mean, he was a good coach. I liked my coach. But, I mean, my dad was probably a much more knowledgeable basketball guy than my high school coach. And, but even then, my dad just always, he respected the, and taught the respect, you know, the people in charge and people in authority. And I remember one time, as kids will do, you know, I was, came home kind of complaining about the coach a little bit, or telling me that, and I just remember my dad saying, well, what do you want me to do about it? You know, he goes, if you got an issue, go talk to the coach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it really taught me a lot there, that, you know, it's complaining to parents, and you know, parents, and I know the helicopter parent thing is real, and you want to get involved, and hey, if you're, you know, coach didn't play your son as much this game or whatever, how about teaching your kids to, like you said, you know, fend for themselves a little bit, grow up a little bit, and you know, go talk to the coach, and they might find out there's a reason why they didn't, whatever they did. And but I think and there is times, I'm sure, when parents do need to step in as well, but I think, you know, letting your kids grow up in those situations and learn how to deal with adversity, I think that's something we're losing a lot, because now with the transfer, you know, if I don't like this coach and he's not playing me or whatever, I can just go transfer to another school, right? Or go transfer to another high school, or, you know, all this other stuff, rather than, you know what, if, you know, if you're not playing, you know, how about talking to the coach, and how about learning to deal with adversity a little bit, and learn how to grow up? You know, I think you see that so much now. I mean, kids just jumping from one school to the other. And I think that, you know, learning the hard, you know, sports used to be, I always thought sports was a great barometer, because there was, you know, adversity, you know, wins and loss. You got to learn how to deal with those things. You got to learn how to deal with other people. You got to learn how to work with teammates. You got coaches and all these things. And, you know, there were good days, there was frustrating days, but you had to, like, kind of navigate that. And it helped you kind of grow up and, you know, get some thick skin, so to speak, as we used to say, on some things. And I think parents jump in and try to protect their kids, and instead of sometimes just letting their kids work it out, you know, figure it out. Hey, if I want to play a little bit more, go ask the coach what I need to do that, you know, and instead of the parents coming in and saying, why aren't you playing my kid? He's, you know, whatever. Because, you know, parents always think their kid's the best, you know, and that may or may not be the case. But yeah, it's tough. You know, I mean, parenting is not easy. I from a parent's perspective, I get it. You know, when do I step in and help? And sometimes they do need to step in, but other times they need to just take a step back and let their kid maybe learn something, you know, that didn't go their way, and have to deal with that, you know. And so that's the hard part of parenting. I don't know that I have all the answers. I didn't do it. Trust me, I didn't do things perfectly all the way through either. But from my experiences, you know, the more we can allow our kids to, you know, take ownership of what it is they want to accomplish and the situation that they're put in, to have to learn how to navigate that themselves, and obviously be there for them, support them as much as you possibly can. But sometimes, you know, it's okay for them to fail, and have to try to learn from that experience and motivate them to be better. So
Well, many coaches may appreciate, you know, this from being a coach. Like some right. coaches may appreciate hearing from one of their players that wants to be better. You know, certainly it's going to land better if that athlete's asking, what can I do to gain more playing time, or what skill set do I need to work on, versus hearing from a parent, right? So it's a chance for them to learn that. It's a chance for kids to learn that will carry into whether it's a professor in college or your boss or anybody else, right? Like sometimes understanding authority, but being willing to communicate with authority is just a great life lesson. And I think that helps a ton. So,
yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah, I think encouraging parents to get their kids signed up for sports day camps and other things, even that the church offers, the Mark Price camp, and I know game day is coming to a close, but taking advantage of those opportunities, because to be able to do the sport and learn how to be better and practice and play games, but to then also have fun with their friends and to be taught the message of Jesus, and that, I mean, everything that we do, that it is the priority that there's going to be maybe a basketball involved, but like also we're not going to shy away from talking about Jesus and bringing that up in those camps. And so I know we're looking forward to registration for those opening. Mark, could you kind of give us some insight as to when parents can start signing their kids up?
Yeah, in the next couple of weeks, through the game day process, they're going to open up opportunities for the different camps that you can sign up for. And in one of the weeks, my camp will kind of open registration as well, and they'll get that information out to all the parents. And so we've had really good turnout. This will be my third year at Grace Church. It's one of the most fun camps that I do. I do several over the course of the summer, but I love coming to Grace. We've had great turnouts, you know, both years, and looking forward to seeing some of the kids that have been before, but hopefully seeing a whole group of new kids coming through the camp this year.
Yeah, I would say, Mark, I want to say this too, for those watching who don't know, the fun part about adding Mark's camp to kind of the mix is Sports Day Camp is a chance to get exposure to a bunch of different sports, which fits, you know, something we've talked about here. But the exciting part about Mark's camp, Mark, you can chime in, this is it's a next level. We're trying to help kids take some next steps. So as we talk about kids who know they want to maybe take couple more steps in basketball, that's where Mark's camp has helped us kind of reach that. So I don't know if you want to say anything about that, Mark.
Yeah, I grew up doing camps with my dad. My dad was a coach for years and years. And, you know, it's real important that when kids leave, you know, they leave learning some fundamental skills that helped allow me. The things I'm teaching these kids are things that I learned when I was a kid, and passing that along. So if they want to, you know, I say, you know, it's kind of like a toolbox. You know, I'm going to give them the tools, you know, to become a better basketball player. But ultimately, it's going to be up to them to go use those tools and spend the time and work on it. But yeah, it's a way to, like Mark said, you know, young boys or young ladies that want to, you know, are a little bit more serious about basketball, to take those next steps, get some really good teaching, and hopefully help them as they move forward.
Yeah, well, we're excited about pushing our parents to get their kids signed up for those. Thanks so much for being on this podcast and sharing everything that you did. And you're going to be around game day here soon, where you'll be able to interact and parents will be able to see you, which will be great. So thanks so much.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Appreciate you having me on your podcast, and looking forward to coming and hanging out at Grace Church here in a couple of weeks, and also for the camp this summer.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mark, thank you so much for being here. It was great. It was awesome nuggets. I hope everybody got a chance to hear some of those nuggets today, because I hope it hits home with kind of this crazy world of sports. I love it. We all love it. But it's great to just remember communication and expectations. And this is a chance for our families to do life together. Right. So mm-hmm. I love it.
For sure.
Awesome.
Sweet. All right. Thanks so much for checking out and listening to the Grace Church Parenting Podcast. We hope that this has been a helpful resource to you in the stage of parenting that you're in. Be sure to check out more episodes as we release them, and we'll see you next time.